And welcome to another edition of Odyssey. I'm your host, Mike Schultz. We talk about ancient mysteries and modern mysteries all across the globe. And we're on every other Mondays, and thanks for joining us. I talk a lot about the ancient astronaut theory. It was basically put forth in the mid-1960s. A book was released called Chariots of the Gods by Eric von Däniken, and it made quite an impact around the globe. It was printed in many languages. It led to a film called Chariots of the Gods. And somehow the film got wide distribution. This was before the internet. It got shown on television and millions of people saw it. So it kind of opened floodgates. People started to realize that there were some sites around the world, some places where pyramids were built and very large monoliths that were very sophisticated that required advanced technology, and that these monoliths were aligned to star systems, and that advanced knowledge of astronomy is needed to create these monuments. And this is in China and Mexico and Peru and Sumeria, of course. And so that really, once again, unleashed the floodgates, and that was about 43 years ago. So since that time, many researchers have jumped into the field. Now there's hundreds of books published, magazines. Nexus magazine, for instance, is great. Every once in a while, I like to mention Nexus. That actually is on the newsstands. It can be found anywhere. And they cover all of this material that I do. So I'm not really groundbreaking here. I think what I'm good at is summarizing, putting together complicated material, weeding out what's not necessary, and giving you the important, crucial information so that you can understand the ancient astronaut theory, the Chariots of the Gods theory, about the Anunnaki, about Planet X. So I've put it together in a clear, concise form in my three films, and I have a brand new, fresh website I would like you all to see. It's called MysteryIslands.net. MysteryIslands.net. You can see a picture of me and read about in detail each one of these DVDs, which has a lot of pictures. And once again, I know it's complicated material at first. You're dealing with biblical stories, and you're dealing with the Sumerian clay tablets and all these ancient monuments around the world. When you first dive into this material, it's complicated. But after you see one of my films, or simply read a few of the basic books, it all starts to make sense, in this whole theory. So that's kind of the magic of it, how it explains so many of the questions we have about our history on this planet. So tonight I want to talk about, more and more people are turning to the internet radio for raw, unfiltered information. And the mainstream corporate media is getting more and more filtered. And if you look at regular radio, you turn it on and you have people like Rush Limbaugh and Dr. Laura with three-hour shows, and they've been on for years and years, more or less saying the same thing over and over, and they're syndicated in hundreds of markets. So the little guys have all been squeezed out, the independent voices. More and more it's turning to syndicated giants. And so if you want, free voices and alternative voices and cutting-edge, unfiltered information, internet radio is where it's at. And I want to give you two examples of why the mainstream is so controlled. A pretty big star named Geraldo Rivera was filing some pretty edgy reports in the 1980s. He was really going after some behind-the-scenes stories, and at one point he researched the Kennedys, and he was looking into the affair with Marilyn Monroe. And basically, after he tried to run that special on TV, he lost his job at the network, and he's been on cable ever since. And that sends a message to the rest of them, to the rest of the big stars, to not go too far. Don't go near the fence. Keep it safe, and you will be promoted. So if you're wondering why there's not all of these investigative stars and journalists running around, that's why, because they see someone lose their job overnight and go to cable with a much smaller audience, and that sends a clear message. It happened again recently with Rosie O'Donnell. Big star, very well-known household name. She was on a show called The View. Big audience, mainstream network. And she started talking about 9/11. And she did not believe the official story like millions of us. And she put a show out, or she booked a guest who was the head janitor in building number one, the World Trade Center 1. And this janitor was going to come on and talk about how there were bombs in the basement and there were explosions in the basement and people were killed and burned and they rescued people down in the basement. Well, that's not part of the official story. The official story is there were no bombs and explosives in the basement. It was the building fell just due to an airplane. And she had booked a guest, and it was just a few days away from happening, and then the hammer came down, and she was taken off the show immediately. And since then, she's, you know, trying to regroup or going on cable or doing her blog on the Internet or whatever. But that, once again, sends another message, and she was quickly replaced within a day. It can happen that fast. So that's where we're at with mainstream media. You know, once again, if you listen to regular radio, you're bombarded with news headlines from Associated Press, from UPI. Well, who owns them? Who decides what gets on these news headlines? And what they do is they throw these headlines at you like spaghetti. You know, 15 seconds about this, 15 seconds about that. Next topic, next topic, next topic. Okay, that's the news. Here's the weather, traffic, done. And you get this all day long if you listen to the radio. There's no analysis. There's no in-depth intellectual coverage of any particular issue. It's just like throwing rocks at you. And it's mostly negative, scary headlines to get your attention or, you know, tune in at 11 to hear this, you know. And that's it. So it's very superficial coverage. So I encourage more and more of you to turn to alternative sites. I'm a real connoisseur of the Internet and getting my news off the Internet. So sometimes people ask me where to get it, and I like to go to WorldNet Daily. It's good. WorldNetDaily.com has pretty good headlines each day. I like to go to Alex Jones' website, Infowars.com. That's Infowars.com. BBS Radio, I like to go to their main news site, TNT. It's right there on the BBS page. Go to TNT every day. That's another good one. Rents.com. Jeff Rents was a network reporter, and he realized the news was being filtered and censored, and he created he's actually on 100 radio stations. He's pretty mainstream at this point. He's broken through. And his website is one of the top websites in the world. So Jeff Rents at Rents.com is great, and DavidIke.com. And David gets kind of a rap for talking about aliens all the time, but he actually doesn't. If you go to David Icke's website, it's all politics. It's all pretty mainstream material, and he really uncovers the whole New World Order and globalism agenda going on behind the scenes. So I'm going to talk a bit about the New World Order now. I want to read a quote from you. This is by David Rockefeller. If you ask people over the past 100 years who's probably the most powerful American family, I think most people would say the Rockefellers. They certainly were domineering in the last century. So David, during the 70s, founded the Trilateral Commission and with Zbigniew Brzezinski. And I want you to listen to this quote very carefully of what he says. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. So they were discreet. They went to these meetings and they were discreet. They did not report on what was happening in these trilateral secret meetings. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. So they were developing a secret plan for the world that they had to do without the bright lights of publicity. But the work now is much more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government. So David Rockefeller just comes out and says it. We're marching toward a world government. The supernatural sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national determination practiced in past centuries. So the elite and the world bankers is surely preferable to nations determining their own fate. And this is the head of the Trilateral Commission. And it's very important that you know about this powerful group, once again, that was founded in the 1970s. They handpicked Jimmy Carter and they handpicked Barack Obama. Zbigniew Brzezinski is another founder of the Trilateral Commission, and he is the head advisor to Mr. Obama. So we're going to go through actually all of the presidents of the past 50 years, and I'm going to show you how each one of them is connected to a powerful secret society, and they just change hands. I mean, one term it's Republican, one term it's Democrat, but they're all members of these New World Order secret societies. And so it's important to go backstage and learn all the chess pieces on the board. It's not that hard, not that complicated. It just takes a little bit of research, and then once you see behind the scenes, then a lot more things start to make sense, actually. And I've studied these characters now for 7 or 8 years, and I can tell you they're very angry. They wanted the New World Order to be in place by now, by about the year 2000. So they're 8 years behind schedule, according to them. They're angry. What they like is to have an elite royal class to live in these gate-guarded kingdoms in Malibu and Aspen and Monaco and Manhattan, and just this 1% who is this elite around the world, and once again, they're in gate-guarded kingdoms. And then really the rest of the world is kind of a semi-slave race, third-world labor, cheap labor, able to do all of the kind of manual factory work, and absolutely no middle class whatsoever. They don't like a middle class. They don't like the United States in particular, because so many people have been able to break out of the grind. Millions of Americans have been able to open their own business and become successful and have free time and do what they want to do. And that is extremely upsetting to the globalists, to the Rockefellers, to the New World Order. So that's all I can tell you about this group. Why do they want a one world government? Because they're control freaks. They are complete control freaks. It's not acceptable to them to have individual nation states. Sometimes I feel like, you know, Washington is so far away from me here in Oregon, and they're not listening to me. Well, they want to take it 10 steps further. They want some giant board of directors to be meeting in probably in Amsterdam or Brussels or something for the whole world. So things like the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the local representation, that would all be thrown out the window if the New World Order has its way. Here's another quote from James Warburg. He's in the Council on Foreign Relations. We shall have world government whether you like it or not, by conquest or consent. So he just comes right out and says it. We will have world government whether you like it or not, by conquest or consent. And there's many, many of these New World Order quotes you can read. Just type that into Yahoo or Google. Type in New World Order quotes and Rockefeller, and you'll get a lot of them. There's quite a collection here. So like I said, I'm a connoisseur of excellent websites that are very cutting edge. I have a little more time on my hands because I don't watch TV news. So I can dive into this. And I found a good one today when I was researching the presidents. And it's called the AtlanteanConspiracy.com. So I'll say that again, AtlanteanConspiracy.com. It's a young man named Eric Dubé. He's only 26, but boy, this guy really hit it right on the money. He's covering 9-1-1 and all the Alex Jones material and David Icke and UFOs, and he's got it all covered there if you go to his website. And I'll definitely try to get in closer touch with him, and he's in Thailand at the moment. So I'm going to read you a bit about an article he wrote. This whole movement kind of started about 100 years ago. There was a character named Cecil Rhodes in England, And he was a tyrant. He was a very evil man. He made his money off the blood and sweat of Africans in the mines, in the diamond mines. And they slaved away for hours and hours in those, you know, very, you know, depressing circumstances in the diamond mines to make Cecil Rhodes rich. And that's where he got his money. And he created this round table. And in Britain, it was called the Institute of International Affairs, Royal Institute for International Affairs. But in America, it was called the League of Nations, which kind of collapsed after 20 years or so. But that was replaced by the Council on Foreign Relations. And that started to gain real prominence in the 1950s. And this is really the main architect, the main power player behind the scenes is the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations. So let me read you this paragraph here. The CFR is a private group not affiliated with the U.S. government, but made to look that way. Just as the Federal Reserve, the name Council on Foreign Relations sounds official to the unsuspecting ear. And they even print a magazine called Foreign Affairs to help pacify the organization in the public mind. But the truth is, the CFR is not a council belonging to the U.S. government, and is in fact a secret society masquerading as an official organization. Even if they called it the American Royal Institute for International Affairs, the sheeple or people might raise an eyebrow. So they hide behind these different names, and another one of the powerful groups I mentioned before is Trilateral Commission. And tri meaning three different global countries, the Americas, Europe, and Asia. They want to consolidate all of the smaller countries into these giant blocks. And then once these three blocks are in place, then create one massive block, one global government. And this won't be all about sharing back and forth and kumbaya. This will be about a massive amount of power and control and individuals losing their own say about what happens in their communities. So let me go on here. The powerful clique in these CFR groups has one objective in common. They want to bring about the surrender of the sovereignty and national independence of the U.S. They want to end national boundaries. And what they strive for would inevitably lead to dictatorship and loss of freedoms by the people. That's according to Harper's Magazine in July 1958. The Council on Foreign Relations is the establishment. Not only does it have influence and power in key decision-making positions at the highest levels of government to apply pressure from above, but it also announces and uses individuals and groups to bring pressure from below. So CFR people are in all aspects of media and judges and lawyers and bankers and military. They're sprinkled all throughout government, and there's 4,000 of them. Let's look at the names of CFR people here. George Bush, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, Richard Nixon, John F. Kennedy, Dwight Eisenhower, Herbert Hoover, Robert Kennedy, Al Gore, Condoleezza Rice, Jesse Jackson, Colin Powell, Michael Dukakis, Fred Thompson, John McCain, Barack Obama, Mitt Romney, Rudy Giuliani, John Edwards, Henry Kissinger, Zbigniew Brzezinski, Angelina Jolie, the actress, Dan Rather, Diane Sawyer, Barbara Walters, Warren Beatty, William Buckley, Newt Gingrich, Alan Greenspan, the Money Man, Paul Wolfowitz, David Nelson and Jay Rockefeller, George Shultz, and I can go on and on. Some of the corporate membership includes ABC News, American Express, Bank of America, Boeing, Chevron, Citigroup, Coca-Cola, Exxon, Mobil, FedEx, Google, Ford, IBM, MasterCard, Nike, Pepsi, Shell, Toyota, Verizon, Visa. Well, that's quite a cozy little group we have here, isn't it? So So if you're wondering, if you look at the elections, why the opponents don't fight that hard, and believe me, John McCain gave up very early last week. The votes on the West Coast were not even counted yet. They were not counted. He gave up very early in the evening. And in 2004, it was a very close election, and John Kerry gave up without a recount. It all came down to Ohio, that state. I remember that 4 years ago. I have a good memory for this stuff. And everyone wanted a recount. You know, it was really close. And John Kerry conceded. No way. He conceded. And the same thing happened in 2000. It was very close in Florida between Bush and Gore. Very close. And Gore came forward pretty quickly and conceded. Not going to fight. So when I read you that list of CFR, it was Republicans and Democrats. So it's two sides of the same coin. That's all I can tell you. They promote people in the Republican and Democrat Party, and they want to make sure that each 4 years, one of their people or both of their people run against each other. And the main concern is that third parties do not get in there. Absolutely not. They are forbidden. When I saw Ralph Nader speak a few weeks ago, he just said, if we could just get on those national debates, if the National League or League of Women Voters, I believe it is, who controls this, would just let us on the debates. He said, I'm already at 5%. I get 5% of the vote. If I got on television for the debates, it would jump to 15%, or 15 to 20, and we got a whole new ballgame here. It's as simple as that. But, Constitution Party, Libertarian Party, Freedom Party, they're really keeping these out and keeping a dynasty of two parties back and forth. They take turns playing good cop and bad cop, of course. So that's kind of a backstage look at politics. And if you want to really learn the basics about this, it's not that complex. Once again, I would start going to Alex Jones' website. I would go to Infowars.com. Once again, Infowars.com. Alex is an excellent educator and teacher. He probably has a larger audience than the NBC Nightly News. I would be willing to bet he's way above them. He's in the tens of millions, and all of his films are free online. What was chilling to me is Colin Powell and Joe Biden made statements recently that there's going to be an incident in the next 6 months, and when I hear that, my alarm bells go off. How do they know? Has the script already been written? How do they know some international incident is going to occur that we're going to have to respond to, is basically what they said. And you need to understand that there are false flag operations. And what I learned through Alex Jones recently is that there are many, many false flag operations. One of them is the USS Liberty. And everybody should know that little piece of our history. I certainly didn't. I certainly did not learn about it in school. But it occurred in 1967, and the documents have been declassified as to what actually happened. But we sent our ship, the USS Liberty, out into the Middle East and during that six-day war with Israel, and our ship was in harm's way and was getting bombed. And when they asked for help, our military and our government let them hang out to dry. Our own government actually wanted that ship to be destroyed, because then all the newspapers could run and trumpet it, and we could have an enemy all of a sudden and get involved in the Middle East, which is exactly what happened. And these sorts of incidents occur over and over. We send the military somewhere, some ship gets blown up or something, and then we blame it on whoever we want to blame it on, and then bingo, we have an enemy. And then the media runs with it with no investigation, and certainly during 9/11 that happened. And then we have another war, and these huge military industrial companies that make weapons get to make a whole bunch more weapons and make a lot of money. So that's the racket that occurs over and over again, and I just hate to see people falling for this over and over. So please look into Alex's, the film I really recommend, it's free, it's online, just type in Terror Storm, Terror Storm, TerrorStorm, and watch that film. It's about 2 hours, you'll never be the same, and it's free. Burn it and share it with everyone you know. We're going to need it as we go into the future. if this so-called incident occurs in the next 6 months, you know, we need to be aware of the New World Order and what's happening behind the scenes. So anyway, that's some of the information I want to bring you. I talk a lot about ancient mysteries, but there were certainly secret societies back in the ancient times in Egypt. It was all about secret knowledge and secret societies, and I believe this started with the Anunnaki. This other group, they were on the planet, very dominant at that time, and it's important to know as much as you can about the Anunnaki. And I'm going to refer you to my website now to purchase my films. They're $20 each. That includes shipping. And the first one is The Sands of Time. That's the best one. If you're new to this material, order The Sands of Time. Go to mysteryislands.net. That's with an S. mysteryislands.net. And you can certainly order these films, and they have a lot of pictures, and I'm lecturing on this material in a very clear and concise manner, and this will give you a great deal of knowledge. Once again, this is all theory, but it's theory backed by hard evidence from researchers all across the globe looking at ancient monuments, ancient legends, ancient writings, and coming up with a story about our history and what human beings went through, what we what occurred, and how we got to this place now. And I'll wind up a little bit, because we have Linda Flores coming on with free angel readings, so get ready for that, okay? Call in for free angel readings. I want to talk about the timetable of our history. And my understanding from all the research I've done is that this Mayan calendar of 26,000 years appears to be accurate and very important. And exactly at the halfway point, 13,000 years ago, I believe there was a pole shift. The north and south pole shifted, and there was a flood. There was a giant flood. And many cultures all around the world refer to this flood. I believe it was an actual event. And there certainly are seashells up at the top of mountainsides, and a lot of evidence that this flood encompassed the whole world. But people in my field generally believe it occurred at the halfway point in the Mayan calendar, so that would place it at 11,000 BC. The traditional date for the flood is more like 4,000 BC, but a lot of researchers like Graham Hancock have been studying the Sphinx and the weathering, how old it is, and they believe these first pyramids in Egypt and Baalbek were created about 10,000 BC, about as the floodwaters receded and people kind of started over and started fresh. So that was kind of like where there was a new timetable, and that's where our modern history picks up at about that point. And the Anunnaki were very dominant from this this 10,000 BC point all the way up through all the Old Testament biblical stories, all throughout the Egyptian heyday and society, which was about 3,000 BC, and the Sumerian culture, 4,000 BC. There were these demigods. They were referred to as the gods, certainly controlling human beings and society. Humans were, for the most part, slaves. And it's quite a story. It's an amazing story how human beings got their freedom away from this group, from the Anunnaki. Because at one point, they decided to leave the planet, to leave humans, leave us on our own. And I believe this happened at 1000 AD. I think their last major monument or temple that they were architects of, they did not build it, but the Anunnaki, their handiwork and their construction methods, and I know how they build their temples and their buildings, they have very specific construction methods and clamps and wedges that they use, and the way they cut their rocks was in Cambodia, and that was at Angkor Wat, and that was completed 1,000 years ago, and 1,000 AD, and I think that was, it was built in the middle of the jungle. It was extremely complex and elaborate, and it was an homage to the gods. And with that, we're going to take a little break, okay? And then we're going to come back with Linda Flores and free angel readings, all right? So we'll take a break. Thank you. Take a journey around the globe on Odyssey Radio every other Monday at 8 p.m. We explore ancient mysteries such as Stonehenge, Easter Island, the pyramids of Mexico and Egypt, lost cities of gold in Peru, the mystical city of Machu Picchu, ancient maps of Atlantis, and so much more. We examine in detail the Sumerian clay tablets, which date back 6,000 years, and describe an advanced group of beings known as the Anunnaki. You will become familiar with obscure temples in Cambodia and the South Pacific, and learn their hidden secrets. On Odyssey, we also learn about modern-day mysteries, such as crop circles and the Mayan calendar. Join all the fun every other Monday at 8 p.m. Check out dozens of archives and ancient mystery DVDs at the Odyssey webpage. So I'm going to keep going with my ancient mysteries talk, and I was once again talking about the timetable when the Anunnaki were dominant on this planet, and my understanding, according to their tablets, is, and they measured it in shars, it's spelled S-H-A-R, and that refers to 3,600 years, and like one shar would be one of their years, and they used that measurement because that's when their planet, Planet X, would rotate around the our universe. It would take 3,600 years, and that's when it would go by planet Earth. Sometimes it would cause a disturbance, sometimes not, just depended on the rotation. And they say that, according to the tablets, the Sumerian clay tablets, they've been here since 430,000 years ago. That's how long. So according, you know, to the oldest writings we have, it really pretty much been their ball game for most of the history, going back 400,000 years. Now, they are like humans. They are like us, and we are like them. We share their genetics. We share their genes. If you read about them, they have the same types of personalities we do. They're flawed. Sometimes they're capable of incredible generosity, and then they're capable of jealousy and rage and passion, and they have an ingenious way of solving problems and issues. Like when there was a flood, I mean, they built this incredible ship, this ark, and they got genetics from each animal and species around the world and put it in the ship, and they survived it and were able to start again. So they have incredible ingenuity, just like us. So I never refer to them as like ETs or UFOs. To me, they're our relatives, and many of them were very benevolent and helpful to us. And once again, they stopped making appearances, if you read the Bible, about 1000 B.C., about the time of the building of Temple of Solomon. And there are the last references are really like David and Goliath. Goliath was a giant. He was one of these Anakim or Rephaim, one of these descendants of the Anunnaki. and Samson, I was reading in the Bible the chapter on Samson this week, and he, I believe, was a giant because it said in there he had the strength to slay 1,000 men, you know, regular-sized men. So he had this incredible power and strength, and of course the tale is that, you know, Delilah cut his hair and, you know, that weakened him in the Bible. But anyway, those tales are at about 1,000 B.C., and one of the measurements is it refers to King Og, spelled O-G, and a bed he used to sleep in. And it was a certain amount of cubits, which translated to about 16 feet. So he was sleeping in a bed that was 16 feet long. Well, to me, that would mean that he's, you know, 14 or 15 feet tall. So there's these sprinkling references to these giants all throughout the Old Testament. And they, like I said, went into the background at that point. And then from 1000 B.C. to 1000 A.D., I think there were very few of them left, and they were behind the scenes, once again, still engineering pyramids being built in Mexico, and because that was the heyday for that society, was around the time of Christ to maybe 800 A.D., was a lot of an incredibly elaborate, sophisticated society in Mexico developed, and they were worshiping Quetzalcoatl, who was, you know, another one of the Anunnaki, another one of these descendants who came over on a boat, and he shared all of his knowledge. And a great city to visit is called Teotihuacan, north of Mexico City, because it still stands to this day, very complex, elaborate. They were doing all kinds of metalsmithing and copper and tin, and they had a great division of labor, almost like factories and pyramids and roads, and they built quite a settlement there, and then it was abandoned abruptly, and the Anunnaki have a history of building elaborate, complex cities and structures and then just walking away and abandoning them, and once it suits its purpose, it's done, and usually it's found later by, you know, natives who live in the region. That's a little bit of a history of the Anunnaki, and my website is mysteryislands.net. Please check out my three films on this subject, and you can see a picture of me. And, you know, anyone can take this knowledge and this research and go out and create DVDs and CDs and videos and go on internet shows or public access cable. And I've done all of these, and you can too. You can find your gift and your message and go out and create your own show. That's the beauty of the media nowadays. So I'm going to get into a little bit more detail about Angkor Wat in Cambodia. And if you look at the country's flag of Cambodia, you will see the giant building, the largest religious structure in the world. And there's this huge mural on the wall called, it's known as the Churning of the Sea of Milk. And the wall mural shows 92 asuras and 88 devas, which are like kind of like demigods, using a serpent to churn the sea under the direction of the god Vishnu. So 92 represents the number of days from the winter solstice to the spring equinox, and 88 indicating the number of days from the equinox to the summer solstice. So the wall sculpture is in a very elaborate detail of the transition from one astrological age to another. And what they're referring to is precession. And precession is kind of a complicated topic, but you need to know it if you're going to research this this field. And what it means is that every 72 years, the Earth does this slight little bobble. So that if you're looking, for instance, straight at, you know, a constellation of Aries, 72 years later, it will appear that Aries has moved across the sky 1 degree. The constellation did not move. Planet Earth moved, but it's kind of an optical illusion. So 72 is a really important number, because that's kind of like this key. Every 72 years, the Earth slightly adjusts 1 degree. So when you times that by 365 days, you get the 26,000 years of the Mayan calendar. And that's why every 2,000 years, we enter a new astrological age. We just completed 2,000 years of the age of Pisces, and that was the era of the fish, which was the era of Christianity, which was so prominent for 2,000 years. Now we are entering the age of Aquarius, as those of you who know who grew up in the 60s, the hippie era, and that's what that song was about, you know, the age of Aquarius. And this is a time of, this is why the internet has blossomed, because Aquarian energy is all about lightning fast mental communication and energy, and the internet has just flourished during this time. So also a lot of free thought and new thought burst forward as we come into Aquarian energy. So that's what occurs every 2,000 years. We go into a different astrological era or sign. And once again, these 12 eras of about 2,000 years equal this Mayan calendar 26,000 years. So that's kind of the overall timetable there. So I think that one of the best researchers in the field is Graham Hancock. He writes these incredible picture books about ancient astronaut theory. And what he did is he used computer simulations to reveal the placement of the temples relating to the star constellation of Draco at the time of the spring equinox in 10,500 BC. Okay, do we have Linda on the show? Take a journey around the globe on Odyssey Radio every other Monday at 8 p.m. We explore ancient mysteries such as Stonehenge, Easter Island, the pyramids of Mexico and Egypt, lost cities of gold in Peru, the mystical city of Machu Picchu, ancient maps of Atlantis, and so much more. We examine in detail the Sumerian clay tablets, which date back 6,000 years, and describe an advanced group of beings known as the Anunnaki. You will become familiar with obscure temples in Cambodia and the South Pacific and learn their hidden secrets. On Odyssey, we also learn about modern-day mysteries such as crop circles and the Mayan calendar. Join all the fun every other Monday.
Hi there. Hello to everyone. I'm so sorry. I think that we had some problems with the phone, but this is Linda Torres, and I'm an angel intuitive, and I'm here to do some mini angel readings, free readings. So anybody who'd like to call in, let's just start. It's 1-877-876-5227. And Mike, are you there? Hello.
Yeah, we have a split show. We split the hour, but yeah. I'm sorry. It was a little bit late tonight.
A little bit late tonight.
But yeah, this is a great opportunity to get free readings, angel readings. Why don't you give us a typical example of how you can help people?
Sure. First of all, I want to say that I already invited the angels to be here with us, and I did receive some messages from them tonight that they would bring, you know, loving guidance to all those who wanted support and blessings tonight, because I know a lot of people need that. So what I do is I invite the angels and the archangels, and I do it through the angel oracle cards. So I usually do the archangel card, which I love, and, you know, we have like 15 archangels who I work with, and it's very, very encouraging to do that. So every time I have different kinds of readings with goddesses and saints and angels, different kinds of readings, but I really love the archangels because of the support they give us. And I give one-hour angel readings and half-an-hour angel readings. You know, you can always go to my website. That's angelsarenearus.com. All the information is there. And I do phone readings as well. If you want to contact me, that's 503-807-0896. So,
what's your message tonight from the angels?
Excuse me?
What's your message tonight from the angels?
Well, tonight, you know, they wanted me to talk about healing, and Archangel Raphael was coming in really strong this week. And, you know, Archangel Raphael is one of the main archangels. I grew up, you know, knowing four of the main archangels, which were Michael and Gabriel and Uriel and Raphael, of course. So Raphael, you know, he's the healer. He's the one who heals. He heals physically, emotionally, spiritually. So what he was also saying is that when you call upon Archangel Raphael, he's bringing a lot of health and healing right now to the world. And in our personal lives also, he's talking also about abundance. He says that he helps us to develop our intuition, our inner vision. So anything that we need at this time, we need to start thinking about it, asking about it, you know, putting ourselves out there just asking and requesting. And Raphael is really helping out with this. I was really happy to you know, just feel his presence this week. So, you know, as a healer, or even if anyone is a healer, wishes to be one, Archangel Raphael says that he will always direct, you know, pure divine energy to all of us. And he works with the green ray of healing and balance. So, you know, always visualize yourself surrounded by that clear green light that he gives us. And invoke his guidance. That's what I have been receiving. Just invoke Raphael's guidance. Remember that he heals all areas of our life.
I'm sure you've had a lot of clients who are sick come to you, and you've worked with Raphael.
I've had some clients, you know, and it's amazing how you know, he works on everyone in a different way. You know, he can bring different messages sometimes. And it's curious that when people come with certain questions, you know, sometimes the angels just, or the archangels come up and give the information that is needed at that time. You know, they give you the guidance that you really need in certain areas of your life at that time. But in healing, you know, Raphael is really amazing. He does amazing things.
Absolutely. This is your really golden opportunity to get a free reading right now.
I know. So call in, because we still have a little bit of time.
Yeah, call in right now. 877-876-5227. So are they kind of giving you messages for the radio audience every 2 weeks? Is that what you feel?
I get some messages. It's only like one, like, you know, last week I think I was talking about Michael and we were talking about Metatron. But yeah, I do, and I asked them, you know, like I asked them this morning. I also asked, you know, who's supposed to come out? And Archangel Raphael just came out. He popped out.
Do you see him, or how did?
And I was thinking of him, and it was funny because I wore a green sweater today, and so his leg was green. I said, oh, I need to wear this. So I usually, what he was telling me also this morning was to breathe. Mm-hmm. You know, some of us always forget to breathe. We need to take several deep breaths and just exhale slowly, and that awakens a lot of our energy.
Wow, what a simple... But...
And it's so simple because, you know, when you're stressed out, all mm-hmm. you know, it just helps in times of stress how unconsciously sometimes we hold our breath
mm-hmm.
and we forget to breathe. And, you know, the breath is really essential for oxygen and for
sure.
our body, for our mind. And so what I have done sometimes, I even write a little note at my desk. You know, I put a little sticky note and say, you know, remind yourself to breathe.
Right, because every cell needs oxygen in our body.
Yeah, so that was the message for today. I really love that. So it's very important.
It really is. And I know there's people out there that want to know who their guardian angel is, right?
Oh, yes. Well, guardian angels, you know, are with us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have said this before, the guardian angels are with us since the time that we're born. And they're with us until the time we leave and go on to our passing. But the archangels, they come and go, and they if we request their presence, they're with us most of the time. But they really come and go and help us with special needs. They're like specialists. Like when you go to a doctor,
mm-hmm.
and you want to see a specialist, that's how the archangels are. You just call upon them.
Oh, okay.
And it's interesting because, you know, they all have different specialties, and I usually talk about that in my classes. By the way, I'm going to announce that if anybody's in the Portland area, Portland, Oregon area, I am giving a class this November 15th, a workshop.
Okay.
And that's in Beaverton. Also, all the information is on my website, but it's in Beaverton.
Oh, we have a call. Go ahead.
Okay. Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
This is Julie.
Oh, hi, Julie. Where are you calling from?
Illinois.
Oh, Illinois. I like that. So what's your question, Julie? How can I help you?
Well, actually, I think I was listening to a different show, so I'm not sure what you're doing.
Oh, I'm doing angel readings, free angel readings.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
What are you picking up, Linda?
Hello?
I'm picking up that you were supposed to call in here.
Okay.
Well, hi, Julie.
Definitely. Are you trying to try something new in your life? Are you working on something new?
See, yes.
You're asking for information about that. You've been asking for information or for some guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm getting Archangel Ariel. And Archangel Ariel is the archangel who gives us a lot of courage to keep on going and taking the next step because she's giving you guidance.
Okay.
Have you heard about Archangel Ariel?
Yes.
Okay. She helps, she assists us in a lot of issues that are going on, and she's like, they call her the Lioness of God. So she is very courageous, and she gives you a lot of strength and protection.
Okay.
So what she's saying is that it seems like the timing is perfect, and when she says the timing is perfect, that's why you called in, because your timing is perfect. She wanted you to give this message for you to feel your power and take away that fear.
Mm-hmm.
So how is your assisting? How do you feel that?
Pardon?
Have you been struggling with something right now?
Kind of. I just had been trying to get a business going, and it's selling a health product, and
mm-hmm.
and I was struggling with how to use my intent properly and to get it kind of going.
Yeah. Are you doing this in partnership with someone?
No, it's on my own.
Okay. What the angels are saying is that maybe you need a little bit of help from someone.
Okay.
You need a little bit of support. So someone who is close to you that maybe can give you that support.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's maybe a little bit of financial support, just to give you that little push.
Okay.
So there's someone around you that you can trust, and that the angels are working with that person as well.
Okay.
I have Raguel, and Raguel, she is the archangel of relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So she's the one who came out very strongly and is saying that she's really bringing harmony to this relationship that you can really lean on and try to get help and support from. Don't be afraid of asking also.
Okay.
Because you have your right to ask. It's your divine right to ask for what you need. So they're really putting it's a little bit slow. But they're trying to do it in a process where you could learn much more of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
So you will get a lot of divine guidance in the next few days.
Thank you.
Does that help?
Yes.
Okay.
That does help a lot.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Well, I wish you the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
We have time for one more call.
Yeah, one more.
877-876-5227. So there's no coincidence, is there, right?
There is no coincidence. Wow, this is extremely important.
Yeah, and, you know, this is anonymous. By the time your phone gets through the radio and the phone, it's different. So don't worry, you're anonymous.
Well, yeah, it's anonymous, you know. And then sometimes, you know, I sometimes don't even remember what I said because...
Are you channeling?
It comes to me so fast that it has to be something very, very powerful that I can remember what happened. So don't worry. As soon as I hang up, I don't even remember who called in.
Well, I noticed you paused for a couple seconds. What's happening during
the
pause?
Oh, because I tried to listen. What happens is that I'm clairaudient.
Right.
So I, you know, it's different from your mind, from what you're hearing when I'm hearing the angels and the archangels. So I just have to pause and just try to get, you know, exactly what they're saying. I also have feelings, so I'm clairsentient, and I just feel what they're trying to communicate.
Okay. Well, I sense there's one more person. We have, you know, about 5 minutes that really needs a little boost, a little guidance.
Yeah. So call in 1-877-876-5227.
Right, and normally, you know, we all know what psychics charge for by the hour are intuitives, and to give it for free is a real blessing.
Yeah, I really, it's really a privilege for me to do this, to serve people, just to help out. But exactly, this is just like a mini reading, you know. In a 1 hour or a half hour reading, you could get much more information from the angels. You know, sometimes they guide us according to what you need. As I said before, you know, sometimes they bring in the spirit guides, or, you know, they talk about loved ones who passed on. about your health, you know, your finances. So just depending what is needed at that time in your life.
I'm getting to ask you, who is a protection angel if you're in a difficult, scary situation?
Oh, that's Archangel Michael.
Okay.
Yeah, Michael is the one who keeps us safe. He's a protector. He gives us strength and courage. So, you know, anytime you're afraid, any kind of threatening situation, he's the perfect one to call upon.
Okay.
Yeah, he protects us. He really dispels negativity around you also. When you feel any negative, chaotic situation, call on Michael.
All right. And you were saying with new projects, could that be any of the angels or...?
New projects is Ariel. Mariel helps you look into new projects, and she helps you just like give you that push, like you're ready to fly, and she gives you that guidance that you need.
I see.
Ariel is like the feminine side of Michael, of Archangel Michael.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really great.
So they're omnipresent. They can be in many. Oh, we have a call. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Hello. Hello there.
Hello. Who is this?
My name is Dorothy. I'm calling from BC, Canada.
Oh, hi, Dorothy. Good to
hi.
See you.
I've never called into a program before, so
this is a free angel reading.
Yes, I know.
Okay, so what is your question?
Not really a question, I think. Just anything you might see or pick up or guidance or life direction.
Okay, Dorothy, I have Archangel Zadkiel. And Zadkiel is the archangel of teaching and learning. He's trying to heal something also that you have been going through. But he's also it's not like a class you're learning. It's a life experience. So have you also been going through some feeling a little bit low with lower energies?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So what he's trying to tell me right now is that he's trying to heal you. In physically and mentally and spiritually. So this is a work that he's doing, and you're going to feel that. You're going to feel sometimes really tired, Dorothy.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you're feeling like that because you're feeling so much pressure. It's when this high vibration starts going around us, you feel a little bit tired, but then you'll feel much better.
Yeah, today
it
was
going,
a,
you know.
Yeah, today was a really, really low day. I was so tired, and that was so unusual for me. So, just wondering what that was about. Yeah.
Okay, so he's also giving you a lot of comfort. I have another archangel who just came through. He's Azrael, and Azrael he helps you in any time of need. He helps you also in healing, in some kind of loss that you had.
Yeah.
Is this a person who has passed on?
Yeah, there's been a few of them. The most recent one would be my sister.
Okay. So, you know what? He's sending the message that your family is just fine. And because he came in really strong right now. And he's comforting you. He's giving you a lot of love. He wants you to know that, you know, passing is not as hard for our loved ones as it is for us. They're just doing great, and these souls are in heaven in another place, and they have already been healed. So, you know, we're the one who grieve, and he wants you to tell you that, to have trust, and Azrael is called whom God helps, so he's helping you right now.
And what was the name of the first one? I missed
the first one is Archangel Zadkiel. That's with a Z.
Okay.
And... he just wants you to keep an open mind right now because he is trying also probably working with Azrael in this healing process. That's why I felt it wasn't so much about, you know, a teaching and learning about a class, but it's learning about some life experiences that you're going through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got his work cut out for him.
Thank you. We're out of time.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you for calling, Dorothy. God bless.
Okay.
Linda, in 2 weeks from now, why don't you call in a bit early, 5 or 10 minutes early?
In
so
2 weeks,
we'll
be here. Yeah.
Extra time, okay?
Exactly. Thank you
because
so much for listening.
You got cut short. Thanks for listening to Odyssey. What's your website, real quick?
AngelsAreNearUs.com.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Bye.